Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Ghost. Amen. You may be seated. Whew, got a job to do this morning. Be falling out and stuff. Crying and carrying on. Get yourself together, young man. Get yourself together. I'm talking to myself. You are not of this world, but you were sent here for a reason. There is a purpose to your life. Listen to me well. There is a purpose to your life, and it's bigger than what you thought it was. Now, before you think about that, you have to cancel out all your own thoughts about what you thought your life was. Many times our own thoughts limit who God really created us to be. Our own thoughts, our own ways, even some of our grandest dreams are limitations. Wow. Even some of the biggest dreams that you have happen to be your limitation because God dreams something bigger. Scripture says in Ephesians, says exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask. So that being the grandest thing that you could think that your life is for, and God has a bigger thought about it. Now, I don't think you understand what I'm saying right now, because sometimes it's hard to conceive, but he has a bigger thought than you have about yourself. Always have. The quickest way to get you to not know who you are is to erase your mind or your mindset or your memory about where you came from. Many times through life and through history and even through race and different things of that nature, society tries to erase everything that you could have traced yourself back to. Because if I can erase your history, if I can erase your root, are y'all listening to me? If I can erase your origin, or if I can make you think that your origin is something different, then I can make you be something different. Change your root, change the fruit. If I can change your root, I'll change your fruit. If I can change your idea of your root, I can change what you produce. So all along you could have been an apple tree, but because you thought you were a banana, or because you thought you came from that, you've been struggling to produce the wrong fruit. Struggling to produce a fruit that you thought you were. Many times the struggle comes from there because I don't have a clear concept of my root. I don't have a clear concept of my origin. The origin is the beginning. It's the starting place. It's where I began. The word original comes from the word origin. Even the definition of the word church, everybody say church. Church. Come on, say it, I am the church. Now watch this. Even the definition of church had the word origin in it. The word church comes from the word ecclesia, and it really means to be called out from an origin. Thank God for what we do every week, and thank God for I'll be able to organize. I think it's a great thing when we come here together. But it says to be called out by name from an origin. From an original place. So if I am the church, say I am the church. That means you are admitting right now that you've been called by your name from an origin. Then it goes on further. It says you called by name to carry a name. Yeah. I thought you knew what church was. Huh? Yeah. You called out from an origin. You called out from something bigger than you. But if I can get you to forget that, and I get you to trace yourself back to mom and them and daddy them, or grandpa them or grandma them, or your color or your skin, or what's been in your American history, then I can get you to forget who you really are. Can we deal with it? You cannot change your fruit without changing your root. It is impossible. It is impossible to change what you produce without changing what you believe about yourself. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. In Genesis chapter 1, an apostle alluded to this last week. In Genesis chapter 1, and I said this, Tuesday. And I said again, you were blessed before you were instructed. And now, a lot of times, you know, we think in church, we say, repeat this after me, or say this after me, or say this to your neighbor because we're just trying to be fancy, or we're looking to make some time in the church. But no, when you say a thing, it makes a difference. I say it to you is one thing, but when you say it about yourself is another thing. Say this, say, I was blessed before I was instructed. Come on, say it again. Say, I was blessed before I was instructed. One more time for good measure. Say, I was blessed before I was instructed. So that means before any law, any rule, any direction, any leading, any all of that, all it was just, I am blessed. Say, I am blessed. I am empowered. Blessed means empowered. So before I did any good deeds or prayed any great prayers or did anything wonderful, I was already empowered. So truth of the matter is, my prayers and my worship and my actions should have been coming from my empowerment and not the other way around. So I should not be praying to get empowered. I should not be worshiping to get empowered. I should not fast to get empowered, right? Right? Those things should come from my empowerment. See how tricky it is? Yeah. Come on, see how tricky it is? Now we do good deeds. Yeah. And we try to do the right things. God bless all that. Yeah. But why is it that we can do the right things, do the good deeds, say the right prayers, say all the right stuff, and then things don't seem to work out like they should? It's because something's backwards. Yeah. Before I was instructed, I was blessed. Genesis chapter 1, and I'll Apostle Luther the scripture last week. Genesis chapter 1, verse 20, 26, he said, and God said, who said it? God. All right, so that's pretty important, ain't it? It's pretty important if God said it, right? God said, let us make man in our image. And after our likeness, let him have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Are y'all seeing that? Verse 27, so God created man. Is there anything else other than mankind in here? So, I mean, so all y'all fall under this category, right? Hold on, you better answer up right quick before I got to pray for you. Well, I got to pray for you up in here. There's something else up in here. So God created man. How? He didn't say in an image. Oh, I'll pick something and I'm gonna make man after this. No, God created man in his own image. Then he repeats it again, says another way, in the image of God created he him. He wants to make it clear what image you're created in. Are y'all listening to me? Male and female. Hey, come on, say it, amen, sister. Come on now. She said, amen, amen. Created he them. So creation, he created us in his image. What's his next scripture say? What's the next scripture? Wait, he says he did what? He blessed him. Wait, no. He gave them some instructions. He gave them the laws and gave them the rules. And God, that same God that made him in his image, blessed them. Empowered them from the jump. Something I saw yesterday, and it struck me because we go to rule of first, and I wasn't looking for this, but I was reading it, it hit me. So I said, what's the first single word that God told man. In the beginning, he created him in his image, and he blessed him. So then God begins to speak. You can talk to him, right? And what's the first single word that God tells mankind? And God blessed him. He empowered him. And then God said, be. I don't know what about fruitful, multiply, all that, all right, right? Right? All that comes from you. Yeah, all that comes from you. Listen to what I'm trying to tell you. All of the things that we've been trying to accomplish come from us. We don't have to go grab them. No, it's the truth. It's the truth that everything that you've been praying for, you shouldn't have to pray for it because it should come from you. Actually, if we stop praying for so many different things, because a lot of times we pray our will. Matthew 6:9 says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. When you pray, pray like this. You know, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth. Many times the things that we're praying for is another will. There's a parable about the sower, and he said he sowed and planted his field. And he said when he went to sleep, they said the enemy came in and sowed tares into his field. There's many things about our identity that are tares. Because somebody said something other than I was blessed for, I was instructed, and then God told me to be. Somebody came in and told me that I wasn't. Or somebody came in, and this is going to take some, it's not going to be this message. Just this message is going to do it. It's going to take some conditioning for you. Because we've been told so long that we got to do to be. Come on, answer me right now. We've been told so long that get right, be somebody. Do this, be somebody. Pray like this. Uh-oh, you try to have a clean record for a long time. Right? And then finally, I'm somebody. No, I'm somebody right now. Regardless of my shortcomings, regardless of how I feel about myself, it doesn't matter how I feel about myself, God says I'm blessed. So who am I, Russ, to tell him something different? Who am I to live something different other than what God created? Before I was instructed, I was blessed. Say, I am blessed.
I am blessed.
I am empowered. Say it that way. Say, I am empowered. I'm not waiting for power to come from somewhere else. All right, come on. We're going to say something real strong right now. Say, I am the power.
Girl,
God the power. That's okay, he is. And you too. But God, no. I'll show you. You too. The first thing he told man was to be. Be all these things. Don't do fruitfulness. Or don't go try to multiply on your own. Be. Everybody say be. Come on, say just be. Jesus was making a statement, and for years I didn't understand it because we learned Christianity another way. We learned you gotta follow all the rules. You gotta have your morals together. You better pray in the morning and at night and in the middle of the day. Then they got a scripture in there talking about pray without ceasing. I don't even know how to do that. Pray, like pray and don't stop? Like never? Without ceasing. I said, Lord, you got to do work on your boy. And then I got all the steps I got to follow, all the rules I got to follow. I got to learn all the right scriptures. I didn't believe that yoke was easy. Y'all can say what y'all want right now. In this church, y'all know y'all sat down one day and said, Lord, this ain't that easy. By faith, I'm doing it, but it ain't that easy. It's only easy because I was trying to produce something. I was trying to make something. Even in society, think about this. Before this moment, before we even realized that I was blessed, before I was instructed, before I realized that the first words that God ever said to mankind was just be. Everybody say just be.
Just be.
Come on, say it again. Say just be.
Just be.
Before I realized that's what he said, everything else in life told me to go get it. Tell me if I'm lying. Everything else in my life told me to go get it. And if I don't get it, I'm a failure. We've been tricked. We've been hoodwinked. We've been bamboozled, run amok. Everybody say, B.
B.
I was blessed for I was instructed. So now, if this is the case, can we make a case this morning? Just write down the scripture, and it says that God blessed him. He said, let us make man our image and our likeness, and then he made man in his image, right? We saw that, right? It's clear, right? And then he said, and God empowered them, gave them the power. So I don't give you instruction to do something if I don't empower you to do it. So I can't tell you to be if I don't bless you before you be. Are y'all understanding what I'm saying? See, many times we think faith is walking in the blind. Faith is not really walking in the blind. Faith is walking in the I am. Amen. Faith is walking in the I know already, even though I don't see it already. See, faith is not, close my eyes and hopeless up. It's not a magic trick. Faith is, Court, I know who I am already. So my faith is in that. So it doesn't matter what the instruction is or what has to happen because I already am. This is faith. Paul spoke about it. He said, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. What's the faith of the Son of God? I already am. I'm blessed. I refuse, listen what I'm about to tell you, and you should tell yourself, you should tell anybody else and everything else in your life this, what I'm about to say. I refuse to let anybody or anything on the outside of me make a judgment on me from what they see. You are not about to make a judgment on me by what you see I'm wearing, by what you see I look like, by what you see, the problems that might be happening. Hey, that's all a part of the story. But I refuse, listen to me. I refuse to let any outside influence tell me who I am. Nothing's going to change my mind. When you get to this place, this is when it get good. When you know that I am blessed already, say I am blessed already. So all I have to do is be. Empowered. People think that this life with God and life with Jesus is a work life, or it's a struggle life, or it's a you got to give up a lot of stuff. No, the only stuff he tells you to give up is the stuff that's trying to define you. Listen to what I'm trying to tell you. It is not a struggle life. It is not a give up life. It's not a you can't have nothing life. It's just trying to let you know that stop letting those things have you because they should come from you. Society is a beast, man. The system is a beast. The world system is a beast because it's always trying to get you to define yourself by something else. Or they tell you, you like this. Or you can only be this. No, I refuse to let you tell me that. I refuse to let you minimize me to what you think that I am. Are y'all listening to me? I refuse to let you put me in a box when I know I'm out the box. I refuse. We're just not going to let it happen. Because I was blessed before I did a thing. Now watch this. I was blessed before I made a mistake too. We We are not defined by our actions. I'm not defined by my failures. But won't everything else tell you that? You fell off. You think you fell off the horse, so now you're not blessed no more. No, you just blessed. You just got some dirt on you. Who you are is blessed. Say, who I am is blessed. So if a dog won't show nowhere, if I didn't do a good thing to be blessed, then a bad thing can't stop me from being blessed. Y'all gotta hear me. What's y'all? Well, come on, y'all gotta hear me. Y'all gotta hear me. We are designed to win. God made us fail proof. Yeah. Yeah. When he decided, look, the date when he decided to breathe in the man and man become a living soul, his breath in me, say his breath in me. When he decided to breathe in, and that's what gave me life, a piece of him is in me, a piece of him gave me life, a piece of him made me a living soul. When he did that, he made me invincible. So question is, well, why do I fail? Why does it seem like I don't win all the time? I heard the statement, why do good things happen to bad people? You ever heard that before? Well, sometimes these people, us, don't know who we are. And we're praying to fix everything else but our mind about ourselves. Quickest way for me to get you is to deceive you about who you are. If I can make you think you're somebody else, I can have you doing all kind of stuff. If I can make you not believe, you even here, listen to me right now, listen to me real close. Even here, listen to me right now, you say, well, that's hard for me to believe. I didn't ask you if it's hard or easy. Just believe it. It's in the scripture. You were blessed before you were instructed. He told you just be. The same God that created you, the same God that's giving you life right now, he's living through you and in you. It's just for me to recondition. It's for me to change my conditioning about who I am. So where did I get this idea of myself from? Can we go back to the root? We go back to the root. Well, okay, I think like this. These thoughts come up. These thoughts, where did this come from? Who told you that? Sound familiar? That sound familiar, don't it? They eat off the tree. Because some other idea told them something else about themselves. Some other idea, listen to what I'm trying to tell you. We call it the serpent, right? Some other, they come tell you something else about yourself. God already told you be. If I told you be, that don't mean you ain't got to go do nothing. You ain't got to go eat nothing else. Be. I bless you, be. Eat up the tree, you go hide. First thing you say is, we hid because we was naked. That's your excuse. Who told you that? Who gave you that definition? I ain't even tell you the word naked yet. I hadn't even explained to you what naked is. Matter of fact, naked don't even exist. Can we use our imagination for a second? At this point in life, we're just all wearing the same thing. Who told you that? Come on, find yourself. Find yourself. Let me find myself. Come on, say, let me find myself. Come on, say, let me find myself. Come on. Come on, say, let me find myself. Right now, you're feeling some kind of way. You're feeling all kind of ways. Stuff going on. Somebody that told you something. Who told you that? Because they lied. If they told you anything other than you were blessed, they lied to you. You listening to me? Yeah. Now see empowerment. Everybody say empowerment. Come on, do your fist, say empowerment. Come on. Empowerment. See, God has empowered us to be. Who told you that? told you you was naked? Who told you you wasn't like me already? Who told you that? Because whoever told you that somewhere along the line, I don't care how close they were to you. Whoever told you that somewhere along the line, you believed them. And maybe rightfully so sometimes, because it may come from a place of prestige or a place where you should have believed, right? Didn't know any better, right? Yeah, rebirth. Born again means this. Yeah, born again means I get away from that thing that told me I was something else. All right. Who told you that? Go on, brother. Read the next one. No, who told you that? Let's sit here and think about it so you get uncomfortable. Another thing society does, it makes us move fast. Don't it? Got to get here this time. Got to be over here. Let's speed through this part of service. Let's hurry up and do these parts. Uh-oh, look what's on TV over here. Look what's on TV. Oh, somebody playing today. Uh-oh. Who told you that? They lie. Freedom comes to your soul today. Who told you you had a limit? Huh? Who told you that? The limited thought process in your mind, who gave you that? Because it wasn't God. So I got that from somebody else. So I understand that when it's crucified with Christ, right? When it's talking about dying to yourself, like dying, right? He's saying die to your idea of yourself. And the quickest way to kill another idea other than the Father's idea is to suffocate it, to choke it out. You can't feed it. You can't feed the other ideas that are telling you you're something else. Amen. I can't hear you right now. You cannot feed the other idea that tells you that you're not blessed. You can't feed it. You got to choke it out. You know somebody put somebody in a chokehold? Yeah, choke them out. By any means necessary, because this is who you are. Okay, well, if you were fighting for your life, and it's you or them, and somebody going to choke somebody. Everybody say imagination. Come on, somebody going to choke somebody. Is you or that thought? Somebody going to choke somebody, and somebody going to die in the situation. Who you want to die, you or them? But then go ahead and take me. No, you ain't. You ain't talking about go ahead and take me. You about to fight, kick, scream, scratch, bite, spit, all that. I'm talking about physically somebody trying to take you out of here right now. Yeah, it's about to go down. Oh, so some of y'all ain't going to fight. I see y'all like, I ain't going to do much. I'm going to just... I'm going to call my holy angels and they're going to come deliver me. Then you're going to fight for your life. You're going to fight for your life. If it's got to be me or them, it's going to be them. Ain't no sacrifice today. Choke it out. Choke it out. Change your appetite. Change your intake. Listen, change your intake. See, right now, after this message, right now, after the message the apostle preached last Sunday, after these messages that we keep hearing, listen. We should choke out these other ideas about ourselves. See, the things that you want and everything that you aspire to be and to do, all that is in you already. But if I can fool you to make you think it's outside of you, I can get you to struggle. So I've got to change it. I've got to change it. I've got to change it. I've got to change my soul. I've got to change my concept about who I am. I have to change what I believe. I'm blessed. He told me to be. John chapter 14. This is Jesus talking, and I cannot, once again, I cannot stress enough these red words. And many times in old church, we were taught one way about Jesus, and he was Superman. Right? He came in, he swooped in, died for your sins. Right? Came in, took the keys. He took them, but who he gave them to? And so because of our concept and because of how we believe things and our perspective on seeing things, sometimes you can misinterpret what somebody's saying to you. No matter how plain they say it, your perspective is everything. They can say 1 + 1 is, but it doesn't matter, because if your perspective is off, you're going to see a different number. Just because your perspective, your conditioning is in a different way. No matter if I am blessed, say I am blessed. Come on, say I'm blessed already. Come on, say I was blessed before I was instructed. Even though this is true, sometimes we live out another way, because we don't understand what was being told to us about us. Are y'all listening to me? So John chapter 14, and we're going to read a little bit, because if you just slow down. Everybody say slow down. If you slow down, right before this in John, I think it's John chapter 13, is right when Judas betrayed him. Judas was about to betray him. Judas, he was washing their feet, which is an amazing thing. If you just do a little research, he's washing their feet. He said, I got to wash y'all feet. He's teaching you how to be a servant, right? How to serve others, how not to want to be the boss all the time, but realize if you really want to be a leader, you have to learn how to serve. Okay, amen, amen, amen. Can I get an amen? Amen. If you really want to be the top dog, you got to be okay with being at the bottom. See, many times the top dog is the one that everybody's standing on their shoulders to hold them up. They described Jesus and they said the government will be on his shoulders. It's another concept we messed up. But now Judas, he said, the one that I give sop to, that's the one going to betray me. All right, so he's already telling them. So Judas leaves, and Jesus is saying, I'm going to start talking to y'all normal now, because we got the traitor out. Y'all know y'all be talking different when certain people leave. Come on, the Bible's a story about you. Find yourself. Just slow down. Stop. Listen. I teach a class called Living by the Book in school, all right? And we have a good time. Anybody ever took Living by the Book? We have a good time in the class. Listen. And it says use your imagination. And it also says slow down. And put yourself in the story for a quick second. So stop looking at one of the ways that we've been fooled too is to look at the Bible like a rule book. It is not a rule book or a school book. It is a story about you. It is the progression of mankind. We are mankind. It's the progression of mankind from the Father to the Father. So you got to put yourself there. Y'all already know that y'all start saying other... Come on, Deech, I know you're laughing at me. Y'all already know that you start saying other things when certain people leave. Oh, I know in the house it's like, don't be putting my business out in the street now. Don't be talking family business outside. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. Soon as they leave, girl. Have you ever been, it usually happens with kids, have you ever been there and had some people there and then somebody started talking too much about some stuff that was family business or just it wasn't nobody else's business and you get that look? That look said, if you don't shut up. Because you got to get them people out. So we can have a real conversation. Oh, sometimes you ain't hearing some of the stuff God want to tell you. You got too many people in your house. Now, if you're catching what I'm saying, I'm not necessarily talking about your physical house, but I'm talking about you. The Father is trying to reveal to who you are, but you're keeping the traitors in the house. Oh, you inviting the traitors in for dinner. Oh, so could it be that God is trying to tell me more about me, but the traitors keep telling me that I ain't? Now, I don't know who the traitors is. I'm not pointing out anybody specific as a traitor, but I know a traitor is telling me, anybody telling me that I'm not blessed. And anybody that's telling me something other than I'm one with the Father. Thieves. John 10 talking about the thief coming not. Many times we thought he was talking about the devil, huh? Yeah, that's the devil too. Yeah, but the thief he was talking about right there was some people. Now go slow down and read John 10. Thief, he's talking about some people that come in that's supposed to be telling you the right thing, but ain't telling you the right thing. Supposed to be your buddies. Stealing from you the whole time. I don't know about y'all, but I hate to be stolen from. Do not steal from me. I will fight you on sight. Calm down, my child. Don't steal from me. You can cuss at me. You can do it. Don't steal from me. Don't. Thank you, Lord. There's a thief in there. Father's trying to tell you who you are, but you can't hear it because the thief keeps talking loud. Thief distracting you. Now the traitor gone, so I'm going to start talking to y'all regular. Then the people that stayed started acting like traitors too. Well, he exposed them. Peter said, I'm not going to never leave you. He said, yeah. All right, bro. I feel you. Power to the people, brother. I'll never leave you. I'm never going nowhere. Amen. Chapter 14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Now, he's saying this for a reason. I need you to believe in me because when you believe in me, you'll be able to believe in yourself. John chapter 1 starts saying, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. All right, we don't have time to go there. Don't go there with the scriptures. John chapter 1, he said, the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That means even in John, the book of John still has John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only. All right, listen to what I'm saying. So now he had to be sent. Jesus came here in the flesh like we are. Come on, feel yourself. Come on. He came here in the same kind of skin, organs and all, just like you. God had to send Jesus in there to show you who you were. You know, Genesis was too far. You couldn't see it. It wasn't the Holy Bible at that time. You couldn't see it. It was too far. You had forgot that he blessed you before he instructed you. You had forgot that all he told you to do was be him. So I got to send something that matches you. Send something that can speak your language. I got to send something that eliminates your excuse for your flesh. So I'm going to send him in the flesh. Just like you, he's going to be hungry, he's going to be tired, he's going to be mad, all that. Come on, y'all ever hungry, tired, mad, all that. Sometimes you get irritable when you're hungry, tired, mad, all that. Right? I'm going to send him in that same flesh. Not only am I going to send him in the flesh, let's do this. I'm going to drop him in the hood. I'm going to drop him off in the middle. In the middle of the hood. I'm trying to kill all your excuses. Well, you know if I lived in a better place. Well, you know if I had a little bit more of this. Okay, so Jesus in the hood. Ain't nobody ever told y'all that. Jesus in the hood. Jesus grew up in the hood. Whatever your definition of that is. In the city Jesus grew up in, there was one bath for the whole city. They say the literacy rate was almost non-existent. They say people that came from that city couldn't even read. I need to understand context. Understand what's really going on. I drop him off in a place of destitute. So you have no excuse of being. Drop him off in the hood. I drop him off in the hood. What else? Come on, what else we want? Drop him off in the hood. His daddy wasn't there. You know, we start saying something, you need more father. No, you just need the father. You don't need more fathers. You need the father. You know, did y'all know that Jesus said in one scripture, don't call no man on earth your father? Don't call no man on earth your father. You got one father, that's your father which is in heaven. Because he understood that when you call someone your father, you make yourself equal with them. They got upset with Jesus because he called himself the Son of God, making himself equal with God. What are you equating yourself to? Change my concept. Drop him off to, daddy wasn't there. I know they thought they was lying. We ain't never had sex. You're lying. We ain't never seen it like this before. What you mean the Holy Spirit came upon you? Y'all better read this story and understand who y'all talking about. They say Joseph died when Jesus was younger. Joseph took him in. I can imagine how Joseph felt too. Who came upon you? Yeah, the angel had to go talk. You better come talk to me too. I got boo boo the fool written on my forehead. I just got to get a little context. So I drop Jesus off looking like you. Looking just like you. The only difference is he's talking a little different. You know, you go read the scripture. I got to go through this. You read through the scriptures. You don't hear him calling God the Father until you get to Jesus. Go through the Old Testament. God, Almighty, 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 no Father. So what he's saying is different. Oh, he different. He different, different. He started taking ownership of who he is. A couple times they read and they say, well, this man, he don't talk like the rest of the scribes. He talk like he got authority. So obviously everybody else was talking like they didn't have authority. He talk like God is his daddy. So now Jesus is here in the flesh, from the hood, from his situation, eliminating all kind of excuses that we can have, and then begins to live this extraordinary life, walking on water and stuff, and breaking bread and feeding thousands of people and stuff. Spitting in dirt and helping people clean, heal their eyes. I mean, this is not normal. The guy got to be, he on to something. I ain't never heard nobody talk like this, but he on to something. But not only does Jesus function like this, and I don't got time to read it all, you got to go ahead and get in the red words. Get in them gospels. Get in them red words. There's a lot of stuff you don't even know. Get in them red words, you'll see it. He begins to tell us, you too. Right here in this chapter, he says this, verse 12, John 14, 12. I can't read it all to you right now, y'all. Can y'all make me a promise to read? Don't lie to me. Well, that's on your body. If you don't want to know who you are, that's cool. Verse 12, he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do because I go unto the Father. So right now, that's immediate empowerment. Everybody say empowerment. Empowerment. Come on, say it again, empowerment. Empowerment. Immediately, he empowered me that if I believe on him, right? The works that he did, I'm going to do them too. Why? Because they're going to come from me. Because I believe. Come on, say, I believe. Empowerment. Now, this is at the end of, this is at the end of his life. You got John 14, 15, 16, 17 is when he prayed that prayer. How about us being one? I'm going to try to get over there before we leave. Right? And this one, now they come and get him. So this is the end of life. So this, he's wrapping it up with these chapters. But that right there is a summation of everything he's been telling you the whole time. That is you. Don't call me good. Ain't nobody good but God. Remember he said that one? Why you call me good? Ain't nobody good but one. That's God. Messiah, they say, don't go tell nobody. Don't go tell nobody. Just go live your life. Go and sin no more, but don't go tell nobody. Because I don't need you trying to make me a king. I don't need you to make you some kind of great leader. Because if you ever make me some kind of great leader, you have an excuse not to be. Yeah. If God, listen, if God would just give you all your stuff, you got an excuse not to be. Now you got an excuse to come run and let somebody take care of you. God did not raise you to be taken care of all your life. How are we going to take care of somebody else if we can't take care of ourselves? How can I love my neighbor if I ain't even loving myself? How can I witness or identify my neighbor if I have not identified myself? See, the beginning of your witness is knowing that I am already. Say, I am already. Say, in Christ, I am already. This is your witness. See, your witness should be that people are just seeing stuff on you. Not really what you're saying, but just seeing stuff on you. And then what you say is validated by who you are. Empowerment. Everybody say empowerment.
Empowerment.
Look, Jesus ain't come for nothing else but empowerment. He ain't come for nothing else but to empower you. All these things. He comes, empowerment. He's empowering you. He's empowering you to get back one-on-one with your Father. Are y'all listening to me? So now his entire message. Every time you see red words, he's empowering you. Yeah, that whole Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the whole God, every time you see the red words, he's empowering you. Oh, Lord, we've been skipping over that so long. We've been skipping over our empowerment. We hadn't been reading our empowerment. Empowerment's been there in the open, and we just hadn't been looking at the fact that we are empowered. And whatsoever, 13, you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you what? Another one. Everybody say another one.
Another.
Come on, say it again. Say another one. I say
another one.
Another one.
Another.
When you're another, another means you had one before. Which means, so I will pray the Father and he shall give you another comforter, which means I'm a comforter too. Jesus says, I'm a comforter too. See, while I'm here with you, I'm a comforter. How do I comfort you? By telling you that you already are. There is nothing that's more comforting than telling me that I have it already. Think about that for a minute. There will be nothing more comforting than to tell me that you're perfect right now. So I'm going to give you another comforter because I'm about to get out of here. Hell, Jesus, I'm about to go. I done my part, I'm about to go. I'm going to pray that he send you another comforter that he may abide with you. How long? So this one ain't leaving. This particular comforter ain't leaving. It's going to abide, live, dwell with you. Even the spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not. Seeth means perceiving. Neither can it know him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you. What's that last line? Hold on, B, shall be. Hey, y'all see that B, huh? That B looks like that first B, huh? That B in Genesis, you remember that B? The first word Jesus, God told us? He told us B. He said that he shall be where? So he's not going to be out you. I just read words. For he dwelleth with you, right? And shall, see, he can dwell with you, but the only way he's going to be is in you. Y'all ain't catching that, are you? You're not catching that. I don't think you're catching it. That's okay. He can dwell with you, but the only way he's going to be or to manifest, can a seed grow outside of the ground?
No.
Right? Come on, just throw a seed up in the air and it's going to start making trees. Can't do it, huh? It's got to be on the inside of the ground. The being comes from the inside. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world see me no more, but you see me. Because I live, you shall live also. Because I live, you shall live also. Because I live, you shall live also. And in that day, you shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Let's do some math right quick. I'm in the Father. Okay? What are you telling you? I'm in the Father. He said, and at that day, what day? The day the Holy Spirit come. See, the Holy Spirit didn't come to lead you in your life or your idea of your life. A lot of times we say, Holy Spirit, show me what's going on, but he's trying to show you, but you don't recognize that. Oh, it can't be that. So show me the other way. No, show me which way to stand. No. It's you. So you're asking the wrong questions. We ask the Holy Spirit about things and about situations and about times and not about ourselves. Well, listen to this. If I be, then everywhere I am, I am. You understand what I'm saying? If I be, it doesn't matter the circumstance. Now, we have glimmers and spurts of that every now and then. We call them miracle signs and wonders and different things. We have testimonies and things like that. But it should be a living, constant, consistent testimony. It should be everywhere that you set your foot to be, there should be something happening amazing. Because I be. Say, I be. I be. Come on, say, I be. Come on, say it again. I be. And at that day, so what day? What day? What day are we talking about, Jesus? That day. What day? The day that the Holy Spirit comes. What day are we talking about? The day that the Comforter comes, right? The day that I send you a Comforter that's going to be in you. On that day, you'll know that I am in the Father. Okay. And then, okay, I'm trying to. This is Jesus. This is the Father. This is us. He says, I am in my Father. So he didn't got in here. Lord. And you in me. But hold up. So I was in you already. Then he make it clear. He said, you in me and I'm in you. You in me and I'm in you. No. You in me and I'm in you. That's one. Everybody say one. Come on, say it again. One. Come on, say it again. One. You and me, I'm in you, we one. And then we both in the Father. That means one, two, three, one. Y'all thought the Holy Trinity was somebody else. You a part of the Trinity. Yeah, cuss me out and burn me up right now for that. But I do not care. Because we got to grow and we got to learn. Somebody got to say it. I'll do it, Julius. I'll say it. We one with God. Say it, I'm one with God. Jesus said it. He said, I'm one with you. I'm in the Father. You in me. I'm in you. That sounds like one to me. Ain't nowhere else to be. We ain't got no other slots to fill. This is it. We've been filled with the Holy Ghost. So at that day, you'll know. At that day, you'll know that. At that day, you'll know. What day? I'm gone, I'm going to send you another comforter, right? And at that day, you'll know you won. Oh, playing with me right now. Verse 26, the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you, watch this, all things and bring all things. He's going to teach you all the things and he's going to bring all things to your remembrance. What's that last line? So the Holy Spirit's point is to bring you in remembrance and to teach you what Jesus has been saying to you about you. See, we don't quite understand our oneness yet. We don't quite understand our oneness with the Father. That's why we be scared. You cannot be God and scared at the same time. You cannot be one with the Father and scared at the same time. If I'm scared about anything, I forgot that I'm one with the Father. If I'm fearful or doubtful, or I feel for 1 minute I can be taken out of here, I have forgotten that I'm one with the Father. Are y'all understanding what I'm saying? He'll teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I said to you. Later on, I ain't got time to go there. Later on, he said, the Holy Ghost, he said when he come, he said, he not going to speak of himself. He not going to tell you nothing else. He going to testify of me. He's going to come back and repeat to you the same thing I've been saying to you these 3 years I was here. And he's going to keep saying the same thing, Gabe. He's going to say the same thing over and over again until you realize you won. No, we don't need to go nowhere else. We don't need another move. We don't need another revival. No, I'm going to keep telling you that you are one with the Father. The Father loves you. He blessed you before you were instructed. All he needs you to be is be, and you are one with the Father. Say, I am one with the Father. Say, I am one with Christ. Say, I am one with the Holy Ghost. These are all the things he's teaching us. What if we've been listening for the wrong thing? What if we've been listening for something deep up in the air, something like that, and he really just said no one? How many things needful? No, Jesus talked to Mary Martha, right? She showed that good thing. How many things needful? Yeah, yeah. The rich young ruler. He said, go back. He said, how many things he was lacking? It look confusing, don't it? Don't it look like, no, it can't be just one. Not in this life. In this world of tribulation and turmoil, it can't be just one thing I'm missing. And I'm going to teach you all things about that. I put two things together today this scripture, he said he's going to testify of me. It's a little further up. He says he's going to testify of me. John 5:39 says, search the scriptures. All right, he's covering you all on all bases. Because he's trying to tell you that no matter what you're doing, no matter what you're trying to do to get to wherever you're trying to get to, it's all going back to the same thing, one. He said, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. Cool. And they are they which testify of me. But then he describes this a little bit. He said, but you will not come unto me. So we got to read the next scripture context. John 6:63 says, the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But in the next scripture, he says, but there's some of y'all that don't believe. That's what he said. That's the word. That's the word. So I have to change my beliefs. I thought I was believing in God. But I can't believe in God till I believe that I'm one with God. I thought I believed in Jesus. But I can't believe in Jesus till I realize that I'm one with Jesus. And he and me and I'm in him and we both in the Father. Next chapter, I don't have time to go there. Lord Jesus, just read. Y'all read 14, 15, and 16. Next chapter, he starts saying, now you're going to start asking the Father. And don't ask me because I'm not going to ask him for you. He said, up until now, you hadn't asked anything in my name. But now you're going to ask in my name, and because the Father loves you, he's going to do it for you. Yeah. And then John 17, this is a prayer he prays before they come and get him. And the main theme of the prayer was let them be one as we are one. Jesus' last prayer, like, you know, last words, whatever, last word. He's praying that we be one with him and that we realize that we're one with him. And everything that's telling me something different, I get it out of my life. Amen. Stand on your feet. We are one. If you're here this morning or you're watching online and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, right now is your moment. Decide to acknowledge your oneness with the Father this morning.